Because when it says, in verse 16, he says to the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Is this said just to Eve or to all women? And it's obvious, most people take this to mean not just for Eve, but a message for all women, to womankind. Because Eve was sort of representative of all womankind. She is the mother of all living. That's what her name means. She was called Eve because she is the mother of all living. That's what the scriptures say. So we see now in Revelation that enmity, that hatred between the woman and the serpent. In fact, in this chapter 12 of Revelation, he is called the dragon, the serpent, and the devil, all in the same verse coming up. So, you know, I'm not stretching at all here to draw the woman from Genesis over to the woman in Revelation. Here is the hatred. Here is the back and forth. We have the woman in Genesis in the first book. Now in the last, we have the woman again. She's facing off with the serpent. The serpent misled the woman and caused her death. And now he is standing before her, ready to devour her child as soon as it is born. When Christ came into the world, what happened? Immediately, attempts are made on his life. And obviously, ultimately, he laid his life down on the cross. But of course, he rose from the dead, and he was caught up to God in his throne. But also, you look in chapter 11 of Revelation, that the two witnesses are also ultimately caught up to God and to his throne. Now, the child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, that's Christ. But also, to the seven churches, one of the messages was, he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, the same will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. So when we overcome with Christ, he promises to give us the very same things that he inherits. We inherit the same inheritance. We are sons. He is not ashamed to call us brethren. 1 John 3 again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him. We will be like Christ. And so, Christ is ultimately, of course, he is the seed of the woman. He is the one whose heel was bruised to redeem us, and who will ultimately crush the head of the serpent, but we will also be with him when he crushes the serpent. And it is given you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. I would hope that also I might suffer temporary sufferings as Christ did. You know, the wounding of the heel in Genesis is what it means is the temporary sufferings. A heel wound is painful. Oh, very. I have problems with my Achilles tendons. And I can only imagine something really bad happening to you there physically, like a spike or something, like Christ had. Something really, you know, it can be a very sensitive spot, in other words. So it was painful, but not deadly necessarily. I mean, the wound to the heel, so to speak. And Christ, though he died, yet God, through the resurrection, caused him to overcome death. And so also, we saw the witnesses. And the remnant of God also is going to be overcome death by the power of the resurrection, which is promised us in Christ. So, we have all that, and that is the heel wound. We may suffer in this life. We will die, but the wound is temporary. The serpent, his wound is a head wound. His wound is ultimately a fatal wound, not one that is merely temporal. So the woman, this metaphorical woman, has a child to bring forth. It is Christ, yes, but it is also every one of us. Her travail, you know, she brings forth this child, and he is caught up into God and his throne, right? And the dragon, of course, is there. Now here the dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, which is interesting in contrast to the beast in Revelation 13, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. He has, you know, the beast thou sawest was and is not, and ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit is the beast that makes war against the saints. Now here, but he has the 7 heads and 10 horns, but the 10 crowns on his horns, whereas here the 7 crowns are on his heads. Now what's the differentiation with that? I'm just pointing it out. It could be that Satan's power is different in different times. And that's going to be made obvious as we continue to go through this chapter. And I'll get to that as we go through it. So, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven to cast him to the earth. Now, that is generally thought of as being Satan leading a rebellion of angels. Right? And his angels are the fallen angels, and they're supposedly a third of them. He carried with him. And I really don't have a good alternate interpretation. I mean, that's generally what I think. I mean, I don't make a big deal about it because I can't say much about it. The stars here, obviously, it doesn't mean the third of the giant balls of gas in the sky. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now, it could mean messengers there, but it could have just meant angels. Maybe every church has an angel that stands before God. There's different ways you could look at it. But here, the stars, I think generally people accept them as angels. And I'm fine with that. But it's sort of an aside here. It's not the main point. You know, so I don't know what to make of it. He cast them to the earth. Now, that could be a reference back to Genesis, where some have suggested that the angels came down, the sons of God came down, and children were born to them through women. That's kind of a bit of a... That's saying a lot right there. I mean, that God would allow that. But if he did, he did. The thing is, whatever that was then. Because we don't have angels showing up every day. So, you know, I don't get much into the angels in Genesis 6. But there's certainly an issue, and it mentions the angels that sinned. At some point we know that there are angels which are not good angels. And that's written of throughout the scriptures in various places. But it's kind of an issue that we don't know a lot about, so I can't say a lot about it. But what is interesting to me, and I think what is important, you look at the order of things in heaven and earth. Though Satan runs to and fro on the earth, and when he came before God in the book of Job, it says, you know, where were you, where have you been? And Satan says, well, I've been running to and fro on the earth. And in the days of Christ, Satan appeared before Christ, but Satan just can't do anything he wants on the earth. Like I said, in the days of Job, no, Satan has, obviously he can go into the earth, and he is a spirit that works in the children of disobedience. He's in the world as a spirit, and he also has power to some degree. As far as his angels, I don't know, but what it said in the book of Kings, in the days of Ahab, the prophet Micaiah has a vision, and I believe that was his name,